Morning, today's happened tomorrow is Lamed Aleph. We are behind, we're in Lamed Amid Aleph. The goal today is we're going to finish the parak, and then over the course of the remaining time that we have in the Masech, so we only have one parak left after this. So we will catch up. And also the advantage we have is that last off is a number. The Gemara we are dealing with right now, we are started the topic of Mechir Kelef, the sale of a dog, a barter for a dog, an exchange for a dog. So go back to the beginning of the sixth parak, and there we encountered various psulim, various disqualifications which an animal cannot be brought as a karban if they are any one of the disqualifications mentioned in the beginning of the parak. Of the disqualifications that are mentioned over there, Rova v'nirva, Muksa v'nevad, Esnan mechir, Kalaim treifa, and Yotzei dofen. So a total of 9 different disqualifications, of which how many of them are actually mentioned in the Torah? 2. 2 of the 9 are actually mentioned in the Torah, and that is the ones that we're discussing in our Mishnayos. And that's Esnan Mechir. So Esnan is an animal that was used as the barter for a prostitute. And Mechir Kelev is an animal that was used in exchange for a dog. These are two different animals that although the animals themselves would have been good for a karban, but because they were used as such a barter, so therefore they cannot be used as a karban. And so, with those disqualifications in mind, so the Mishnayos spend a little bit more time talking about it. We already discussed extensively, based on the previous Mishnah, Chavtes Man Aleph, the Esnan Zona, and the parameters of the Esnan Zona. And parenthetically, by the way, we're going to come back to that topic as well. We're going to revisit that topic in just a little bit from now. But as long as we're discussing that, we're also discussing Mechir Kelev. As we pointed out yesterday, both these disqualifications are learned from a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah in Parshas Ki Tseitzei, Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Yotes. So the Torah tells us that one is not allowed to bring neither an Esnan Zona or Mechir Kelev as a carbon to the base of Mikdash. So as long as we talked about it, Mechir Kelev, so we are going to be discussing now what is the definition of Mechir Kelev. Let's take a look at the mission together. I know we did the mission yesterday, but it's a good place to start. Ezu Mechir Kelev. So what's an example of Mechir Kelev? Hamal Chaver, someone says to his friend, Holech Tlezeh Tachas Kelev Zeh. So this sheep is going to be in exchange for this dog. So it's a simple barter between a sheep and a dog. I have a sheep, you have a dog, we're going to barter the two together. So now that sheep is going to be labeled as Mechir Kelev. And as a result of that, this sheep can no longer be brought as a carbon. It's going to be permanently tainted and disqualified to be brought as a carbon. The Mishnah gives another example in which you're going to have a barter, and that is you have a partnership. The partnership was made up of the right total assets of the partnership, 19 sheep, 1 dog. And then the two partners end up splitting and dissolving the partnership. And so when we're dissolving the partnership, each one of the shareholders are going to be taking their fair share of the partnership. So one shareholder is going to be taking 10 sheep, and the other shareholder will take 9 sheep and a dog. So that means that of the group that took the 10 sheep, one of his sheep was in exchange for a dog. So that means to say now that one of his sheep is going to be usher. The Mishnah actually goes a step further. The Mishnah says that all of his sheep is going to be usher. On the other hand, the other partner, so the 9 sheep that he took are all going to be mutter. The question which we are going to address and we're going to deal with is, well, why is all 10 sheep going to be usher? Meaning, can we just simply say that one of his sheep is in exchange for a dog? Not all 10 sheep are exchanged for a dog. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. We're going to respond. The Gemara is going to respond to that question in just a little bit from now. Mishnah continues, Esnan Kelev Mechir Zona. If I have an Esnan Kelev or Mechir Zona. So in both of these cases, Hare Elu Mutarim. So this would be permitted. Meaning that the only things that are prohibited in the Torah is only an Esnan Zona and a Mechir Kelev. But if I were to cross the two, that do not become usher. Certainly acts which are not acts that we should be involved with, but nevertheless, not going to be tainted and disqualified. Shenamar Shnayim V'lo Arba'a. The Torah actually tells us that these two are going to be usher. And by the Torah telling us that, the Torah is going out of its way to say, these two and only these two are going to be subject to the disqualification. V'ladusem Mutarim Hein V'lo V'ladusem. And on top of that also, if I have a sheep that was exchanged for a dog, which this sheep is going to be usher and cannot be brought as a karban. But if this sheep were to then have an offspring, so the offspring would be mutter. The vlados would be mutter. The Gemara starts off the discussion, Tana Rabbana Mechir Kelev Zeu Chilufei Kelev. Mechir Kelev is Chilufei Kelev. Now, it sounds like we already knew this already, but as will become clear, if you look carefully in the Pasuk in the Torah, and the Gemara quotes it here, the word Mechir is not really connected to the word sale. In other words, as it's presented in the Torah, right? It's mechir, mem ches resh, and we're understanding it now to mean a barter. How do I know that that's an accurate definition? So v'cheinu omer. So the Gemara says, fine. So for that, I'm going to show you a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Tehillim reads, timakir amcha belohon velo rebisa b'mechirehem. So you look carefully in this pasuk in Tehillim. He starts off with the words timakir, which is the verb as we know it to mean a sale. Timacher amcha belohon. Now this pasuk in Tehillim is talking about the Jewish people, how the Jewish people were sold, and they weren't sold at a great price. And velo rebisa b'mechirehem. And they weren't increased in terms of their sale. But what we really are interested in terms of this pasuk is the following. If you look at the first words, timacher, sale, in the way we normally understand it, and then you look at the end of the pasuk, it's mechirehem with a ches. And so from what we're learning from this pasuk is that the words are synonymous. And so therefore, when we're going back to our pasuk in Chumash, Perichav Gimel pasuk Yetes, and you look at the word mechir kelev, even though it's spelled mem ches resh, it is synonymous with the word mechir, meaning a sale. So, Ema, the Gemara says like this. Why don't we make the following suggestion? Esnan zona. Now, the Girsa obviously over here is a little bit corrupted. You see all the flags go off. Like every alarm goes off over here in terms of what should be the correct Girsa of the Gemara. But basically, the Gemara's point is, you can go with whichever Girsa you would like. The basic point of the Gemara is that maybe the word esnan is modifying both. Meaning again, what's Esnan? Esnan is where we are going to be selling services. So maybe the Esnan is going both on the Zona, right? Selling the services of the Zona, and on the Kelev as well, and on the dog. And it's not like the way we understand it. Meaning the way we understand it, the correct understanding is Mechir Kelev is a bartering for a dog. It's a sheep for a dog. That's the correct shot. But what the Gemara is entertaining over here is maybe not. Maybe the word Esnan is modifying both the Zona and the Kelev. To which the Gemara's response is, Imkein lo karev havu, Imkein lo karev havu. Now I'm reading the parentheses, but again, the Gon also over here has a Girsa issue, but the point is going to be the same. Imkein lo karev havu tlasa gamshem velo shlosha. The problem is as follows. If you're right, that the word Esnan is modifying both the Zona and the Kelev, so it comes down now that we have three disqualifications. One, esnan zona, right? The selling of the services of a woman, i.e. prostitution. Two, the selling of the services of a dog. Three, the bartering of a dog. So now it comes out that we're going to have not two, but rather we're going to have three disqualifications, and we just simply know that that's untenable. The Torah says very clearly that there are only, from this pasuk, two disqualifications to come out. Me kamrinan anan estan umechir estan v'lo mechir kamrinan. So the Gemara says, oh, really? So that's not a problem. Meaning, we'll just simply take out the mechir. And we'll just simply say that the prohibition and the disqualification here is specifically on esnan. Esnan selling the services of a woman, that's esnan zona. And esnan kelev is going to be the selling the services of a dog. So imke neimakra lo savi esnan zona v'kelev. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we were right about that, so then, obviously, we would not have had another verb. It would have just simply be, don't bring an esnan of a zona and a dog. That's what the Torah would have said. Midikasiv esnan zona umechir kelev shmamina. So the Gemara says, by virtue of the fact that the Torah introduces it with two separate verbs, on the zona, that's esnan. On the kelev, it's mechir. So now we know that this is the correct and really the only pshat that is accepted. That it is the disqualification of animal exchange for services of a woman, animal exchange for a dog, period. So the Gemara here asked a question which I already foreshadowed back in the Mishnah. We're talking about a partnership. They had a total of 19 sheep, one dog. They're dissolving the partnership. They are splitting assets of the partnership. One partner got 10 sheep. The other partner got 9 sheep and a dog. Okay, so more or less fair split of the assets of the partnership. So far, so good. But even if we're going to say that one of the sheep, of the one who collected 10, is going to be corresponding to the one dog that was taken by the other partner, so how many now should we have in terms of sheep that are disqualified? One. There should only be one sheep that's disqualified. Meanwhile, the Mishnah said very clearly that all 10 sheep are going to be disqualified. Now, Before we get to the Gemara's answer, which is a very short answer, as you can see, so let's just figure out for a moment, where do we stand in terms of how to view the splitting of the partnership? So it's a topic that comes up throughout Shas. It's one of the more popular topics in Shas, and that's the principle of Breira. Breira tells us that if we have a circumstance in which we don't know the result as of yet, but we later learn a point, a result, we could take the later result and move it backwards and say retroactively, that's the way it was from the origins. Now, when we talk about Breira in our context, let's take a look at what happened. What happened was is that we have now assets that need to be divided. We don't yet know how it's going to be divided. But here's the story. In the division, there's going to be, obviously, one of the partners is going to be getting a dog. That means that the other partner is going to be getting a sheep in exchange for that dog. So that means to say that at a later point in time, we can now say, after the splitting of the partnership, we can easily then say that one person's getting a sheep corresponding to a dog. Now, which sheep is it? Doesn't really matter, meaning it's one of the sheep. So as long as we can identify which sheep it is going to be for which dog, so then that should limit the prohibition and the barter between that one sheep and that one dog. Okay. And that would be predicated on the principle of Breira, of Yesh Breira, that there is in fact Breira. Assuming that's so now we can really understand better the Gemara's question. If we subscribe to Breira, which we're assuming right now we are subscribing to Breira, so that means to say now that it should only be one of the sheep which is going to be prohibited and disqualified to be brought as a karban, and the other nine sheep should be totally fine. And that's what the Gemara is bothered by. Let the other nine sheep become permitted. To which the Gemara is now Gemara's response, Hachem b'maiskin, it could go into Tafil d'mei kelev michad minayhum, v'haytufina d'kelev shadi b'kulu. So a really interesting answer of the Gemara. Rashi spends a lot of time with this answer, and that is basically like this. In the splitting of the partnership, the dog and the sheep were not dollar for dollar. Right, the dog cost a little bit more than the sheep. Rashi actually goes through a scenario in which the dog's extra value actually can be distributed among all 10 of the sheep. And so therefore, what's going to happen now is that for the one who received the one dog together with the nine sheep, so he's going to make it a point, obviously, in order to, so that it'd be a fair splitting of the assets, where he's going to take that one dog, and he's going to take smaller sheep. The other partner is going to be taking larger sheep, so that it's a fair splitting, as fair as they could possibly be. Obviously, no one's going to be happy afterwards, but, you know, that's just the way life works. The reason why all 10 sheep are going to be prohibited is because this one dog is going to be more in value than any one of the particular sheep. And so therefore, you're going to take the extra value of the dog and it's going to be distributed amongst all 10 of the sheep. Question. Why don't we just simply say that, in other words, how valuable can this one dog be? So let's put it at 2 sheep. Let's even put it at 3 sheep. And so therefore, on the partner who received 10 sheep, why do we have to say that all of his sheep become usser? Why can't we just simply say 2 of his sheep become usser? Or even 3 of his sheep is usser? Whatever the value is needed, required, in order to get the equivalency of the one dog. So, it's a good question. I don't have a prepared answer. Rashi just simply says that we're distributing the extra value amongst all the sheep. Now, Rashi says it because the Gemara says it. So, why the Gemara has to say it that way, and why can't we just simply contain the dog to 2 or 3 of the sheep? So I was prepared with a question. I don't have a prepared answer. Certainly something to think about.
So the Mishnah doesn't subscribe to Breira.
I don't know. In other words, the Gemara doesn't say that. If you were right, the Gemara would have just simply said we don't subscribe to Breira. And so therefore we don't know which sheep to assign it to. That would have been an easy solution. The Gemara does not say it. It sounds like the Gemara subscribes to Breira. In fact, Danny, now that you brought it up, you can see the Baam Tosfos over here. Do we, in general, subscribe to Breira, yes or no? Now, we know it's a machlokas throughout the Gemara. If you take a look at the beginning of the Tosfos points out, it's a machlokas amongst the Rishonim, whether or not we subscribe to Breira. So, perish mitam Breira. V'hashanichla perish read the pasuk hilchos sebekulei ashas yesh Breira. So, by virtue of the fact, the way I explained the Gemara, our Gemara is subscribing to Breira, right? That was not my invention. Tosfos says it. Tosfos says, according to the Ri, one of the Balei HaTosfos, it works out great. Because he feels that throughout Shas we paskin yesh breira, that we do subscribe to breira. Again, there are Tanaim who disagree, we know that, but in terms of a psak, the Ri says that the default position of the Gemara is that we do subscribe to breira. So our Gemara works out great. However, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that we do, generally speaking, do not subscribe to breira, so how does our Gemara work? So see Tosfos for that kind of discussion. But it certainly sounds like from Tosfos that the correct understanding of a Gemara is that we do subscribe to Breira. And that's why the Gemara has to come on to a different answer. Let's continue in the Gemara. Estan Kelev Mechir Zona Mutter. Amle Rava Mi Parzakya Le Rav Ashi. Menahem Ilse Dam Rabbanan. Ein Znus Le Behemos. So there's a statement made by the Chachamim. We saw back in Yevamos, we saw in Sota, that when it comes to an animal, so there's no Znus as it relates to animals. Now, a man having relations with an animal, or for that matter, a woman having relations with an animal, is a capital crime. It's mishkav behema. And with it, both the person and the animal are put to death. So obviously what the Gemara is not saying, to be clear, is that it's okay, it is not okay, it's a capital crime. What the Gemara is saying is that it won't be labeled with the znus label. It won't fall under the category of znus. As such, if a woman was involved in an act of mishka vehema, she's not deemed a zona. She's not qualified as a zona. A kohen would be allowed to marry her. Okay, granted, by the way, and assuming full disclosure, I'm not sure if the kohen would be that interested, but that's a separate issue. But in terms of its her label, she does not get a label of znus. So menahem mosadam rabbanin znus lebehema amale rav amarle lo nishma kra lichtov esnan zona. The kelev. So the and one of the ways in which we see it is based on our sugya and our pasuk. In other words, the Torah could have just simply said esnan zona vikelev, meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah makes a clear distinction between an esnan zona and a mechir kelev, meaning that the Torah is going out of its way to say that for an act with an animal, it just simply doesn't have the status of a zona. Tanya Namihach, the Gemara quotes a Braisa supporting this as well. Minayin la'estan kelev u'mechir zona shemutarim. How do I know that an estan kelev and mechir zona are going to be permitted? Shenemar beis v'lo dalad. V'la doseim mutarim shenemar gam shneim. Heim v'lo v'la doseim. Anyway, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. And again, from the Mishnah, we see very clearly that an act in which you one sells his services of an animal with a person, so that does not fall under the category of znus. That's not a zona. And so therefore, again, another raya, another proof that although it is an act which is prohibited, capital punishment, etc., but it doesn't file under the category of being a zona. Amar Rava, Vlada Nirvas Asura, if you have a animal that was involved in bestiality, and the animal is also pregnant at the time, so he uvlada nirvu. How do I view the status of the fetus vis-a-vis involvement in the act of bestiality? Now, as far as the mother is concerned, the mother now is going to be disqualified permanently as a karban because the mother now was involved in an act of bestiality. It's one of the disqualifications that we were introduced to in the beginning of the perek. What the Gemara wants to know is what if the animal at the time was pregnant and what is the status of the fetus vis-a-vis disqualification? Is the fetus going to be considered part and parcel of the act? So Rava makes a statement very clear, which is that both he uvladeha, both it and its fetus inside, are going to be considered part and parcel of the revia. Nogachas asura, he uvlada nikhu. And let's say an animal was involved in negicha, it gored a person to death. The animal now is going to have the status of a shor haniskal. What about the vlad? So Rava says same thing, that the Vlad is also considered part of the Negicha, and the Vlad also is going to have the status of being a Shor Haniska. Vlad Muksav and Nevad, Mutter. However, when it comes to the Vlad of both an animal that was set aside for Avodah Zarah, we spoke about that extensively yesterday, or an animal that was actually worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, so the Vlad of that animal is going to be Mutter. Maitaima, Liimei Akse, Liimei Palche La. Because the worship was only directed towards the mother and not towards the developing fetus inside. Ika de Amre, Vlad Muksa v'nevad Aser. The Gemara gives another version of this last point, and that is that the fetus is going to be prohibited as well if the animal is either set aside for Avodah Zarah or actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Maitama de Nichalei b'nefichei. And the reason being is because, as far as the worshiper is concerned, would he like worshiping a thin, raily animal, or would he like worshiping a plump animal? So the plumpness and the animal, now, I always go with the Gemara's assumptions regarding this. Being that I have not worshipped an animal, I really don't know what's preferable. But the Gemara's assumption is that people enjoy worshipping an animal that's a little bit larger. And so therefore, the Vlad is going to be Usher as well. Amarav achdebuy bar ami amarav. Amakash beperishor aniskal. Mekudeshes. The Gemara now goes over various, as long as we discuss the Vlad of these animals, vis-a-vis the status of Revia and Niskal and Revia, Negicha, and Nevad, Muksa Nevad. So the Gemara now is going to be talking about other aspects of the animal in terms of whether or not they're going to have the same status. Specifically over here, we talk about the waste of the animal, the waste product of the animal. Is it going to have the same status as the animal itself? So Amrav Achtabuy, Abrami, Amrav, Mekash Beperesh, or Anisko, Mekudesha. So a man goes over to a woman and gives her the waste, the excrement of a shor haniskal. Now, the I know.
That's not romantic. I don't know what.
For sure. Right. For sure. He's going to win her over. I know it as well. I know it. Now, you're right. Okay, good. Now, obviously, it's a commodity, and obviously, it could be bought and sold on the market. The question, of course, is that whether or not it's going to have the status of the animal. The animal, of course, being a shor haniskal, is aser behana. You're not to get benefit from the animal. So, is the same thing going to be true regarding its excrement? So, the Gemara says no, it's not. Why? The Gemara doesn't explain. The Gemara just simply says it is not have the status of an iser or no. Beferish igli avodah zara einu mekudeshes. But when it comes to the excrement of an animal that was used as a avodah zara, that is going to be prohibited. That's going to have the same status as the mother. Mother. Okay, good. Correct. Now, my time, the Gemara says, now, this distinction we could say in one of two ways, both in terms of Pesukim and in terms of Svara. So when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, we just gave the Svara moments earlier in the Gemara. When it comes to an Avodah Zarah, so you want it to be plump. And so therefore, with excrement inside, so it's going to be a little bit larger. And so therefore, that is going to be part of the Avodah Zarah and the status of the Avodah Zarah. However, Gabi Shor Niskal, lo nichale b'defiche. Shor Niskal, it literally makes no difference to us whether it's plump or whether it's not. We're not talking about at the time of the Negicha. We're talking about after it has gained status of a Shor HaNagchan, a Shor HaNiskal. And so therefore, does it matter whether it's larger or smaller? Obviously, it makes no difference to us. And so therefore, the excrement inside does not have the status of the animal. Ibai same across, so that was Svara. What about Pesukim? The Gemara says Pesukim as well. The Pesuk says that it's going to be Cherim like it. A Pesuk describing Avodah Zarah. So Kol She'atam Mehayem Mimenu Harehu Kamohu. Anything which is derived from the Avodah Zarah is going to have the status of the Avodah Zarah. So we're talking about excrement, so it does come from Avodah Zarah. If the Avodah Zarah is an animal, the excrement is coming from the Avodah Zarah, so therefore it qualifies as V'hayisa Cherem Kamohu. However, Gabi Shor HaNiskal Ksiv Lo Ye'achel Es Bisaro. But when it comes to the Shor HaNiskal, what does the Torah say in terms of the Isra Hana? The Basar is going to be Asr Behana. Bisar Asr Pirsho Mutter. Meat's going to be Asr, but the perish, but the waste, the excrement is going to be Mutter. Okay, so we said in one of two ways, either it's going to be based on Svar, based on Pesukim. Mishnah starts off, I'm behind, so let's just go continue further, and then afterwards come speak. Nasala maros are eila mutarim. Now, if you give her money, now we're back to our Eslan, we're talking about now the money that's given to her. I gave away the answer. The commodity that's given to her for her services. Now, as we've already established, if what you're giving her is an animal, so that animal now has the status of Eslan Zona, she can't bring it as a carbon, disqualified to be brought as a carbon. Well, let's say instead of an animal, you give her money. So now, and obviously with that money, that's a money, is a currency. And she'll turn around and she'll buy product with that money. Is that okay? Our Mishnah says, yes, that's okay. When I say that's okay, by the way. Yes. Understood. Let's not lose the forest with all these trees. None of it's okay. Right, but the Gemara is not condoning, endorsing any of these activities. But in terms of disqualification, like Abe Mizbech, that would be fine. Nasal Amaus are elu mutarin. So those would be mutter. In other words, you can take the money, you can purchase animals or any carbon with that money, and that could be used. Yenos ushmanim v'slasos v'chol davar shechayotze bo krav agabe mizbeach. However, if what you give her in exchange for services is either wine, oil, or flour, anything which can directly be offered up onto the mizbeach, and she wants to offer that on the mizbeach, also that's going to be prohibited. Nasan lam amukdashim hare elu mutarim. The Mishnah says, let's say what you give her is something which was already designated as a karban. Now this is a strange exchange for services being rendered. Aside from the there you're perfect. Now you're thinking like me, which is not the best, but it's good. And in other words, aside from the philosophical conundrum of that's what you're giving for services rendered, that's like you're really off base in terms of your hashkafos. But in other words, halachically, the problem of course is that it doesn't belong to him. What is he giving her as exchange for services? He's giving her carbon, doesn't even belong to him. The point of the Mishnah is that despite the fact that it was used as exchange and barter for services, it will not be given the taint and disqualification. And Danny, for the reason in which you articulate, because it's not his. Ofos hare eila asurim. But if you give birds, so they are going to be asur. Now, these birds that were given, Rashi writes over here in the Mishnah, Nasan la ofos chulin hare eila asurim shuv lehakrava. So Rashi says that for the birds, even if the birds were given as chulin, they cannot be offered as a karban. Shaya bedin ma imam mukdashim shamun posel behem inas na mecher chal aleihem. Now the Mishnah itself says, here's the argument that we could have constructed. Consider that when it comes to a karban, where a mum is going to disqualify the karban, even after I was makdashit, in Esna Mechir Chal Aleihem, but once it's a karban, the status of Esna Mechir cannot apply to these animals. Ov she'ena mumposel behem, eno din shelo yeh Esna Mechir Chal Alav. So when it comes to a bird, do you know that a bird is impervious to a blemish? Meaning, if a bird received a blemish, a bird is not going to be disqualified as a karban. So you see that birds are simply not sensitive. They're not blemish sensitive. So if they're not blemish sensitive, so perhaps you can make the argument that they're also not going to be esnan sensitive as well. And I guess we could also say mechir kelev as well, but our focus is right now on esnan. So tamlam lechol neder lavi esa'of. So the lechol neder comes to tell us that despite the fact that we're right, a bird is not subject to mumim, and a bird is not sensitive legabe, the disqualification of a mum, but nevertheless, the pasuk says lechol neder, it comes to include birds as well, legabe esnan. Anything which is prohibited to the mizbech, but when it has an offspring, the offspring is going to be mutar. Rebbe Lazar Amar, Vlad Trefa, lo yikrav agabe mizbech. Rebbe Lazar says that the Vlad of a Trefa cannot be offered on the mizbech for reasons which we are going to articulate later. Rebbe Chanina ben Antignus Amar Sharon, Rebbe Chanina ben Antignus says, nope, disagree, kasher. Now, shiyanka min a Trefa psula me agabe ha mizbech. If it in fact, however, nursed from a trefa, it would then be pasul agabe mizbeach. Meaning just being born from a trefa, that's not going to disqualify according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. But to nurse from the trefa, that will disqualify. The Gemara is going to discuss that line of the Mishnah as well. Kol HaKadosh Shenasu trefa. Any carbon that becomes a trefa in potent associate in potent HaKadoshim lahachilan leklavim. A rule that we find throughout the Gemara, but here the Mishnah says it clearly, black on white, is that if your carbon becomes a trefa, so now you are stuck. You cannot redeem it. In other words, even though it's going to, even if it gets a mum, and generally, of course, you're allowed to redeem an animal, a carbon that's a mum, but you're not allowed to redeem this carbon. Why not? Because once it's a trefa, what's going to happen once we redeem it? So you and I can't eat it because it's a trefa. So the only thing then we're going to be doing is giving it to our animals. Ein poden esakashim la'achilim l'klavim. So here the mission gives us a rule that that's not what you are, that's not the goal, that's not the mission statement regarding the redemption of a karban. So that a dog would eat it, that you're not allowed to do.
What do you do with it?
Dispose of it.
I assume
the way we would with a chatos amesa.
Burn it outside?
No, first of all, kill it, meaning kill it in a passive way, right? Starve it to death, and then afterwards, then burn it.
Bury it.
Hmm?
Bury it.
or bury it. It's coming up. It's coming up at the end of the Masechta in terms of burning versus burial. Some disqualified items are burned. Some are buried. It's the very last sugya in Temura that touches on that topic of which ones are burned and which ones are buried. And then, in terms of making sense of which ones are burned, which ones are buried, so Tosos is going to discuss it at the end of the Masechta. Okay, I'm so happy that I remembered that. Okay, anyway, all right, but anyway, it's coming up at the end of the Masechta. Tanu Rabban, we start with the Gemara. We are in Lamed Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah. Tanu Rabban, Nasal Lachitim Vasam Solas. Let's say what you give to the Zona is the wheat. But then she takes the wheat and she grinds the wheat and she turns it into flour. Zaysim, what you give her are olives, Vasam Shemen. And she turns it into olive oil. So Anavim Vasam Yayin. Let's say you give her grapes and she turned it into wine. So what did she do with the commodity that was given to her? For her services, she did a shinui. She did a change in the item. And now, what happens when you do a shinui, when you make a shinui in an item? So we say it throughout Shas. Now, when I say throughout Shas, here is one of the sources of this topic. Meaning, it's an odd place to learn about shinui, and shinui being kona, but here we are now, Tumur, the end of the sixth perek. So where else does this topic come up? It comes up in Baba Kama. When you steal an item, and you make a shinui in an item, and you change the item now becomes yours. Now again, it's not right, the fact that you stole and then made a change in the item, but technically speaking, shinui is kona. And so here as well, shinui is going to be kona. Now, I say that very clearly as if there's no other side to this discussion. There is another side to this discussion, although it's going to be rejected. But there is another side to this discussion. Tenichada asur v'tani idach mutarim. We have a dissent amongst the brisas. One saying it's asur, another saying it's mutar. Amar Rav Yosef tani guryon demin asporek beis shamay osur beis hillel matirim. Comes out now. It's a machlokes between beis shamay and beis hillel. Beis hillel savri heim v'lo v'ladoseim heim v'lo shinuyehim. Beis hillel says, look, what's the source that shinui is going to be kona? Because when the Torah introduces us to Esna and Zona, the only thing that's going to be disqualified is when what was given to her is being offered to the Beis HaMikdash in its original. That's the word haim. Haim velo vladosem, haim velo shinuyehem. But once you make a change in the item no longer becomes, it is no longer going to have the same status. The shinui is going to make a total change in the item and make it have it lose its status. Beit Shammai says haim below vladosam and gamla rabbi shinu yehem. Beit Shammai says that the haim is in fact exclusionary and excludes the vlad, the offspring, but the gam is coming to be marbe. And what is it coming to include? Shinu yehem. Ul Beit Hillel haksiv gam. Now according to Beit Hillel, what does he do with the word gam? What an interesting way to end the Gemara's discussion. Gamla Beit Hillel kasha. You know what? For Beit Hillel, I don't know. The Gemara admits what Beit Hillel would do with the word gam. And the Gemara closes the discussion, meaning it's a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai has a drasha. The Gemara articulates clearly how Beit Shammai darshan. And what about Beit Hillel? How does he darshan? The Gemara acknowledges unclear, unsure. The Rishonim offers suggestions in terms of what to do with the gam according to Beit Hillel. So if one Maramakom, one source for this topic of what Beit Hillel is going to do with the word gam, see the Ramban on Chumash, where he discusses this very topic.
Maybe she was already coded. With the original stuff.
What? No, in other words,
the harlot was already kone with the grain.
Yeah, good.
So how do we learn that she's kone after a shinui? She already owns the...
No. In other words, no. The kinyan means it's hers now, but as the grain stand, they are disqualified legabe the carbon, legabe the mizbeach. Right. Once she now converts into something else, she does a physical change with the item, so that's it. No longer...
Change status.
The idea that shinui is kona, we are so ingrained in our head that it's when the thief steals and he makes a change in the item, so now he's acquired the item. The idea behind shinui kona is a more universal idea. It's clearly articulated over here, meaning she acquired the item. The item belongs to her. The issue is not ownership. The issue now becomes, is it going to continue having its status of being DQ'd, legabe the mizbeach? And once she makes a change in the item, it's not going to be disqualified. I'm sorry. You're right. No, I was right. It's not going to be disqualified because now it's a new entity. Shinui creates new entity. One other place in Shas, by the way, I'm filing in my head right now. One other place in Shas where we have this idea clearly articulated as Shinui is by Rashi's Agez, right? Strange place, but the 11th parak of Chulin. The Gemara over there talks about how when you shear the sheep, so you're supposed to give the first shearings over to the Kohen. So the Mishnah over there says that if what you do after you sheared it, you colored it, so now you no longer have to give it to the Kohen, right? Why? Shinui. Because you made a change in the item. Even though, by the way, the change over there is just coloration. But that's considered a shinui. And you no longer have to give it to a Kohen. Was it right? Was it wrong? The Mishnah over there makes no judgment call in terms of whether it was right or wrong what you did. But again, we're just talking about the result. The result is shinui is Kohen. Tana Rabbana. Basil. Always.
I can bring any korban, just not that korban.
Of course.
So, but if they're whatever they have is from their services, so that speaks with Hillel that they can bring something else. This is something else. It's changed. Something else. So you can bring it.
So you're right. That's not a question. That's just it's a clarification. Yeah, correct. Tana Rabbana Beis Hashem Lokecha Prat. According to Rebbe Lazar, what is limited in terms of disqualified is only that which is brought into the house. However, if it's not brought into the house, it would be permitted. Notably, paraduma. Now you talk about a drama where she got paid with a paraduma, and then she turns around and says, "You know what? This is such a good paraduma. I'm going to bring it as one of the." Historically, there were somewhere between 9 to 10 paradumas historically. That's it. So, and then this is one of the paradumas which was basically turned as part of the exchange for the services of a zona. Okay, granted, it'd be a serious, it'd be a nice drama, but still, the idea is that it's not. It's not considered Beis Hashem Elokecha. It's not brought into the house. V'chachamim amin l'rabbos is a rikuyim. Now, according to the chachamim, it's inclusionary. It includes the rikuyim. The rikuyim is the gold plating in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, man chachamim arichis to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, he detail yinasal ha-zahav. If gold was given to her, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, amin enosim rikuyim. You cannot turn it into the plating. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because this Gemara is just on the heels of the Gemara that describes Shinui. Admittedly, over here, not clear in terms of whether gold, if it's thinned out, is in fact considered a shinui. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, and the Gemara identifies the Chachamim over here as being Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, this is still going to be given the label and the stigma of being something which cannot be part and parcel of the Beis HaMikdash. Afilu achorei Beis HaKaparos, the Gemara says, even the end of the Beis HaMikdash, Masechta Midos, we're going to be discussing a tour. We're going to be giving a tour of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to go from the east, and we're going to head over to the west side of the Beis HaMikdash. And after the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's still another 11 Amos that remain of the Azara. Now, those 11 Amos are, quote-unquote, going to have the lowest level of Kedusha, if we can, if we could subdivide the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Still, the point that we're making over here is that the gold that was received by the Zona for her services to then be, in turn, given to the Beis HaMikdash cannot be used even for that area.
What if it was exchanged for coins?
Let's discuss after, okay? And you can find me right after the daf. I'll discuss it. Nasla Mukdashim Hare Elu Mutarim. So if they are, if they belong to Hektish, so they're going to be, if what you give her is a carbon, they're going to be mutter. Now, the Gemara wants to make an argument that they should still be given status of Esnan and status of Mechir. Why? Based on the following argument. So here we're going to take the argument that we present to the Mishnah. We're really flipping the argument. Look, when it comes to a bird, we know that a bird is not mum sensitive. A bird can get a blemish and still be qualified as a carbon. And yet a bird is eligible to become status of Esnan and Mechir. So Mugdashim Shemun Posabahim, Esnan and Mechir Chal Aleihem. So an animal which is already more sensitive, it's mum sensitive, so therefore the status of Esnan and the status of Mechir should apply to a carbon, even after it's been designated as a carbon. So Tamalam Alechol Neder, Laotzi Esan Ador. So the Gemara says, Lichol Neder, which means that what is going to become an Esnan, what's going to become a Mechir? Only something that I'm going to dedicate as a carbon. But if it's already been dedicated as a carbon, it's not eligible now to become an Esnan or a Mechir. Now, Danny, the Gemara now asks your question. Time of the Me'atino Kra. Halam Me'atino Kra. Hava Miniki Yayiv La Mugdashin Chalayim Esnan Mechir. Halav Mamonohu. So now the Gemara is bothered by, wait one second. Without the Drasha, we are ready to entertain the idea that if you give a zona a carbon, that carbon is going to have the status of Esnan Mechir. And the only reason why it doesn't is because of a drasha. Let's put the drasha aside. Just think about it. What are you giving her? You're giving her something that doesn't belong to you. So if it doesn't belong to, it's a karma now. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to her. And now it's going to get status of esnan and mechir. Like, what are we discussing? So the Gemara says, you know, there is a carbon that you can monetize. It's one example, but it's out there. There is a carbon that you can monetize, and that's a carbon Pesach. So how do you monetize your carbon Pesach? The Pasuk says that if, let's say, you have more sheep than you do people in your house, meaning you know how much meat's coming off the sheep, you know how many people you have in your house, and you know too much carbon Pesach. And what's going to happen is that if we just go through this Pesach with this particular carbon, we're going to have no sir. I don't want to have no sir. So you know what? Let's get other people on board. Let's register other people to our carbon Pesach. But in other words, what are we going to do? We're going to let them register for free? Like let's turn this into a money-making event. And the Torah says it's allowed. It's absolutely allowed. Mihi yos misa, the Gemara Darshans, hecheyehu misa. You can actually make a business out of it. Now, to what degree can you monetize it? So, mechdei achila v'lo mechdei mekach. According to the Tanakhama, you can only monetize it, you can only charge the amount that it costs. Meaning, how much it costs to feed, how much a person would have paid for that meat.
No profit.
But you can't profit. And Rebbe says, nah, you could profit. Rebbe Omer, af mechdei mekach, shim ein lo mimena, according to Rabbi, you can turn profit on it. And so that means that according to Rabbi, you are in a position to totally monetize your carbon Pesach. So after you have now brought in a carbon Pesach for yourself, and you feel that, and now you find that you have more shares, okay, so you can now sell shares. And now, I know it's uncomfortable, but this is what the Gemara is saying. And now, this is how the Havamina would have went. Now we have a good way to entertain the idea where, you know, I have shares of my carbon Pesach to sell, and it happens to be that instead of getting money, so I want services instead of money. So I'm going to sell for services. So now you call up the local zona, and you say, look, I have part of the carbon Pesach, and there are shares to sell, and look, right, so I'll barter for services. So now one can entertain the idea that now that you are able to sell parts of your carbon Pesach, so now that part that you sold to the zona for services being rendered, so now that part is going to have the status of esnan. That's the havamina. It's a good havamina.
And you can attend the seder.
Right. right. Correct. Who is she? It's a long story. Right. So the So anyway, that's what we're learning from the drasha. The drasha is there to teach us that the carbon will not have that status. Okay, so a review of our Mishnah. Anything that's disqualified legabe mizbeach, and presumably would go over any one of the disqualifications that is within the purview of our perek in Shas, go back to the first Mishnah and go over them. So any of the karbanos which are pasul agabe mizbeach, v'ladosei mutarim, so the offspring are going to be mutar. V'tini ala Rebbe Lazar oster, and we have a brisa that says Rebbe Lazar disagrees. Amrav huna barchin amrav nachman chlokeshi v'losof nir v'u. Now, in what case is Rebbe Lazar going to argue? So on this we have a machlokes amarayim in terms of when there is going to be a machlokes between the chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer. According to Rav Nachman, now I say Rav Nachman, in our first version, it's going to be a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rava. So according to Rav Nachman, machlokes shibula sof nirva'u, we're talking first it got pregnant, which means that it has the fetus inside, and then it was sodomized. Did Rabbi Eliezer sever uber yerechimahu? According to Rabbi Lazar, the fetus is viewed as part and parcel of the mother, and so the mother was sodomized, and so was the fetus as well. And that's why the fetus is going to be prohibited. And the Chachamim take the other position, which is that, no, the fetus is not considered part and parcel of the mother. Only the mother is sodomized, and the fetus inside is not sodomized, meaning it's not given the status of being sodomized. Aval nirvu l'sof ivru, but however, if the animal was first sodomized and then it becomes pregnant, mutarim, everyone would say it's mutar. That's one way to qualify the machlokas. A second way, Rav Amar machlokas kishin nirvu l'sof ivru, the Rebbe Elazar savre zevezegorim, asav Rabbanan savre zevezegorim mutar. Another way to explain the machlokas is where it was sodomized and then it becomes pregnant. So now, this fetus developing inside of her is created by two entities. This is what's called sexual reproduction. It's produced by the mother and by the father. Now, the mother is tainted. The mother is disqualified because the mother was sodomized. But the father, of course, was not sodomized, and the father was not tainted. So now, this fetus inside of her is the result of two gorims, two causatives, the mother and the father. What do we say regarding zev zegarim? We say, throughout Shas, it's a machlokas, whether zev zegarim is mutter or aser. And according to Rava, that's exactly the machlokas over here. Whereas according to the Chacham, zev zegarim is mutter, and according to Rabbi Lazar, zev zegarim is aser. However, aval ivrusof nirvu divrei kol aserim. But according to Rava, if the animal was first pregnant and then sodomized, everyone would say that the fetus is going to be aser, and presumably because ubar is considered yerech ima. Rav Latamidama, Rav Vlad Nirvas Asura, he Vlad Nirvu, Vlad Nogachas Asura, he Vlad Nirchu. And the Gemara says, and this statement to Rava corroborates beautifully with what we learned earlier this morning. Go to the top of the Amud and go down seven lines from the top of the Amud. I'm a Rava, right? So it fits in, this understanding of Rava within the Machlokas of the Chacham and Rav Lazar fits in with what Rava said earlier. That's all one version. The Gemara gives a second version. Lishnachrin, another version, Amrila Amarav Huna Barchina Amarav Nachman. Now, in the second version, it also starts off with the words Rav Huna Barchina, who quotes in the name of Rav Nachman, like we had in the first version. If it was sodomized after it was already designated as a karban, the Rav Lazar Savra Bizui Milsa. According to Rav Lazar, it's going to be disqualified because Bizui Milsa. It's just simply inappropriate. But if it was sodomized when it was chulin, now it has undergone a change, i.e., it went from fetus to now a live animal. So therefore, according to everyone, it would be mutter. That's according to our second version, as described by Rav Nachman. Rava Amar Rav Nachman. Now, Rava is going to give another version of this machlokas. But again, Rava over here in our second version is quoting also Rav Nachman. Machlokas kishenuva kishen chulin. The animal was sodomized while it was chulin. The Rabbi Lazar Savra Bizui Milsa. Rabbi Lazar Savra Hovishtana Mutarim. Rabbi Lazar says that it's just simply degrading. It's pasnish. That an animal that was sodomized, where the animal itself is disqualified, that's not pasnish. That's the psul. But the fetus now to be used of that animal, that's pasnish. And as opposed to the chachamim, shinui. Meaning the fetus now went from being a in utero entity to a independent entity. That's shinui. Aval nirvu k'shem ukdashin divrei kol asurim. But if the animal was sodomized while it was hektesh, so then everyone will agree that not only is the animal itself disqualified, but the fetus inside is going to be disqualified as well, and presumably because of bizui. It's just simply just not appropriate. Vlad trefa. We are now on the top of lamed aleph and aleph. Laman darma trefa. So the Gemara here ascends us to the beginning of the third parak of Chulin, where there we have a debate whether or not an animal, which is a trefa, can it conceive and deliver a offspring. And it's a machlokas over there. I know it sounds like a machlokas in Metzius, but it's a machlokas over there whether such an event can occur. So if we subscribe to the idea that an event like that can occur and then an animal can become a trefa and then have an offspring, so the Gemara says, fine. So mishkachal kigon shenitra filosof ibra. So then we can set up our Mishnah where the animal first becomes a trefa and then conceives and has an offspring. And now what is going to be the basis of the debate between the Chacham and Rebbe Lazar? Again, it goes back to the issue of zev zegarim. Because again, for this fetus, there are two causatives. There's a mother and there's a father. Mother's a trefa, father's not a trefa. And so is zev zegarim going to be mutter aser? That's the machlokas. Now in our Gemara we have the word chaya. But let's assume right now yoledes. And if we subscribe that a trefa cannot be molded, so mishkachla kagon she'ibra l'sof nitrefa. So therefore the case has to be talking about a case where it was pregnant. After it becomes pregnant, then it becomes tref. One of its internal organs becomes punctured. And then the debate is whether or not the fetus is viewed as just simply a part and parcel of the mother, or the fetus is not viewed as part and parcel of the mother. Okay. I'm Rav Huna. Modim Chacham l'Reb Elazar. So, we know there is disagreement regarding the Vlad of a Trefa. The Chacham's position is Vlad of a Trefa is kosher to be brought as a carbon. Reb Elazar disagrees. On that, there's a machlokas. How about a bird and a chick? Is that going to be the same machlokas, different? Is there an argument that it could be more lenient or more stringent? That's going to be the next sugya. Am Rav Huna Modim Chacham L'Rebbe Eliezer B'Efroch Beisas Treifa. If I have the chick of an egg, of a bird, that's a treifa. Sha'asr. That according to Rav Huna, the Chachamim would agree that such a chick would be asr. Even though by an animal, he says that the offspring of a treifa mother is mutter, but when it comes to the chick of an egg, of the mother hen, that's a treifa, everyone would say that's asr. Why? My time at kan lo pligi ala had rebbe leazer ala bavlad behema dim avira karavya. So when it comes to the fetus of an animal as opposed to a bird, so there the development of the fetus is coming me avira. Now literally that means from the air. Obviously we are speaking contextually and we're making a distinction between the developing fetus inside of an animal as opposed to the developing of a egg inside of the mother hen. What exactly does the Gemara mean when it says avira? Rashi over here offers a couple of explanations. Rashi writes, Vlad b'mei behema in aduk begufa, elatoli b'i b'avir u'me'atzmo hu notzer v'gidol ha'olech, aval beitza kozman she'inu nigmara, aduka b'eshkol u'gidela v'nigmara miguf ha'tarnagolas. So one pshat that Rashi offers is the distinction in that, even though obviously they are both developing in utero, but nevertheless the in utero development of an animal is more independent. I'm using emphasis on the word more. More independent than that of a egg. In other words, obviously it is attached, and right, and Rashi knew that as well. It still is corded and attached to the mother, but still, for the most part, it is developing inside more independently, as opposed to the egg developing inside of a hen, where there the egg is still connected to the cluster. That's one way Rashi explains it. Rashi explains it another way. Lishna achrina me'avir karabiel achish nolad v'holich v'gadol hikach ikar gidulo eno mi'imo. A good percentage of its growth and development occurs after it's born. Ava beitzas migufa detanagola rabia v'hadavra mochich shel achish yatsa eno gidela mishum hachimo de rabbanan. But when it comes to the chick and the egg, the chick does not grow as much after it comes out of its mother. Okay. Again, Rashi's just dealing with how to make a distinction between the developing fetus of an animal versus that of a chick inside and the egg. Okay. Again, Rashi's got to focus on the Gemara and how to explain the Gemara. So bevlad behema deme avir karabia vabeitz estrefa migufa tatanagola karabia. So afila rabban amode, and that's why the Chachamim would agree and say that the chick of an egg that came from a treifa hen is going to be us according to everybody. Amalei Rav LeRav Huna, Tanya de Masai Alech. I have a braisa that supports this idea. Melo tarvad rima ba me adam chai. Let's say you have the following. Decomposing flesh of a live person. Okay? Certainly unpleasant, but halachically, let's say you have flesh that comes off of a live person and it's decomposing. Not only decomposing, but it already has maggots on it as well. It's off the person's body. So is that a spoonful of that? Is that considered human remains? Is that going to give off tuma? Rebbe Elazar metame v'chachamim metarim. So it's machlokas hatanayim. Whether or not that decomposing flesh is going to be tuma or tahor. Ad kan lo pligi rabban alei ala berima depirsha ba'amahu. Now, as far as this machlokas over here, the machlokas is complicated by the fact that there's rima, that there are maggots. Ava beitza de megufet atanagola hu afila rabban amoda. But when it comes to a egg coming out of a hen, so since the egg is the full production of the hen, that egg is all part and parcel of the hen, so therefore we have full agreement over here that it's going to be viewed as an extension of the hen. If the hen is a treifa, so is the egg. That is all one viewpoint. So we have so far gone over the viewpoint of Rav Huna, that when it comes to a chick that comes from an egg, that comes from a treifa hen, so according to Rav Huna, everyone agrees, if the mother was a treifa, so was the chick that comes from it. Amalei Abaye, Ad Rabbi Ibcha Mistabra. Abaye says, look, you want to make an argument? We can make the exact opposite argument. You wanted to do that just moments earlier. Ad kan lo palig Rabbi Elazar alai de Rabban el Abrima de Ikre Adam Mechayim Rima Dichsiv. Look, you want that Mishnah? You want to go over that Mishnah and discuss the decomposing flesh of a human that has maggots on it? Maggots that are helping the decomposing flesh. You know, truth of the matter is, we're also a maggot. The pasuk says, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Iyov, "Tikfas enosh rima." You know, eventually we're just going to end up being maggots. Uven adam tol le'a. So the truth of the matter is that maggots are not considered viewed something as external to us. It's part and parcel of us. Aval gabe beitza ima gatla lichi mesarcha v'chi asarcha afra ba'amahu. Do you know that in terms of the development of the egg of a hen, it really only starts developing inside only at the point of decomposition? The Gemara over here is like comparing it to like a seed, right? The seed starts growing into a plant only at the point of decomposition. So same thing over here. The egg and the chick inside is developing only after the point of decomposition, which means that it's not really considered part and parcel of the hen. I feel a Rebbe Lazar Moda, so I would go in the exact opposite direction. I would say that Rebbe Lazar, who views a vlad of a trefa, that of a trefa, that's by an animal. But when it comes to an egg and its mother hen, so the egg and the hen are viewed as two separate entities. The otanya, and on top of that, I have a brisa. The brisa says that the efroach of a mother is in fact, in the mother's a trefa, the efroach is going to be motor, according to everybody. Amalei tanya tanya. So that ends the discussion. You have a brisa? Good, I can't argue with that. You have a brisa, so I'm going to have to acknowledge your brisa. Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos Amar Kshera Maitaima. The Gemara now talks about the nursing, the suckling calf. The suckling calf, if the mother is a trefa, so we had in the Mishnah on the previous Amud that, right, she yanka min a trefa, psula me'agabe mizbeach, it's going to be disqualified from the mizbeach. And so it only begs the question, just because it nurses from something which is not kosher, that doesn't identify and define what it is. Yes, it's getting nourishment from the mother, but if the animal is fine and not disqualified, the animal should remain fine and not disqualified. Why should nursing from a non-kosher render it something which is disqualified? My taima. Now, let's say we use animal food that was avodah zara animal food, and we use it to fatten an animal. Do you mean to say that now the animal is going to be prohibited? The animal should now be considered rendered an avodah zara because part of its nourishment, part of its diet is coming from avodah zara? And the Gemara is asking like incredulously, like it can't be. It's just a factor that helps it, that helps grow it, but it's not what it is. It doesn't define what it is. Elatini Rabbi Chanina Tirta Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan Kegon Shei Heinika Chalav Rosech Meshachus Oshachus Hov Yechol La'amod Aleha Me'esleis. So the Gemara says, when it comes to a suckling calf from its mother, so here's why we would say it's different. Because when it comes to the nursing, so it can nurse in the morning, and it doesn't have to nurse again until tomorrow morning. Meaning, generally speaking, we're going to say that diet doesn't define you, right? You eat something that's not kosher, doesn't make you not kosher. Bad analogy because, in other words, not, I'm talking about a person. But even in terms of talking about an animal, an animal's diet does not define what it is. If it eats a avodah zara, it doesn't become a avodah zara. But when it comes to the suckling calf, so because its diet is exclusively comprised of its mother's milk, so then its diet will in fact define what it is. Certainly an interesting chiddush. Kol kadosh and shasu treifa in podem and ani mil tan rabban tizbach v'lo giza ve'achalta lo l'klavecha baser v'lo chalav. So we have numerous limitations in terms of what to do with psule hamukdashim. You can shecht it, but you can't shear it. You can eat it, but you can't give it to your dogs. You can eat the meat, but you can't milk it. And from here we learn that you cannot redeem an animal, a carbon, if what the only thing you could do with it is simply feed it to your dogs. So we have the Gemara quotes another brisa. The brisa says is that from the time that you shecht it, from that point going forward, you can have heter. You can enjoy it. Kasavar poden esakajin lachilas klavim. Now in this second brisa could be that this second brisa does allow for for you to give your psula hamakdashim over to your animals. So it could be it's a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, and again, also a question of what the correct girsa is. If you take a look at the Bach over here, he writes that actually ain let's leave it like that. That you in fact could you could get benefit from it. Okay, so it could be a machlokas tonight. Hajalach kol esrim. So that is the end of the parak. Let's just quickly recap. We finished off our discussion regarding the esnan and the mechir kalev. Esnan zona mechir kalev are limited to only esnan zona mechir kalev, not esnan kalev. The Gemara spent a lot of time making that point very clear. A big discussion of ein znus lebehema, actually small in the Gemara, but big discussion that in relation with an animal does not make one a zona, does not give one the status of a zona. Various waste products of an animal, is it going to have the same status of an animal? So we talked about it lagabe rova venirva. We talked about it lagabe avodah zara. We talked about it regarding negicha and whether the waste products of these animals are going to have the same status of the animal. We did the mission together regarding a shinui. If what the zona is receiving as payment is not the actual product which is going to go up onto the mizbeach, but she makes a change in the item, can that item now be used on the mizbeach? The answer is yes. Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether shinui is going to change the status. Beis Hillel's position is shinui is in fact going to change the status. Okay. The Gemara's lengthy discussion in terms of the machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim regarding the Vladosem, the offspring of these animals. Are they going to have the same status as the animal? And so machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Elazar, and a subsequent machlokes Amoraim, and two versions of the machlokes Amoraim in terms of the limitations of the machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, the Gemara discusses, is there going to be a difference between the status of a Vlad to its mother versus a egg to its mother hen? Could be that Rav Elazar and the Chachamim would both agree that it's different and should be machmir. Could be that they both agree that it's different and you should be mekel. That also is a machlokes amongst the Amoraim between Rav Huna and Abaye. And finally, you are what you eat. Is your diet going to define what you are? So the Gemara says under normal circumstances, no. Regarding a calf and it's in the suckling from the mother, if that is its only diet, so then the answer over there would be yes. And finally, the drasha of you cannot redeem an animal so that it's the only usage of that animal is that you can then give it to your dog.